My friends in Christ, an old Russian chronicle called The Tale of Bygone Years tells how at the end of the first millennium, in the year 988 to be exact, Vladimir, the Prince of Kiev, made a decision that would have profound consequences for the peoples of Russia and the Ukraine. Prince Vladimir was a pagan, which made him fair game for missionaries and proselytizers, whether Christian, Jewish, or Muslim. They were all eager for him to give up his pagan ways and convert to their religion, and of course, to bring his people along with him. So the prince decided he would do some investigating. He sent a delegation abroad to observe their respective worship services. When the delegation arrived in Constantinople, they entered the great cathedral church of Hagia Sophia and witnessed the solemn liturgy of the Mass. As the story goes, they quickly wrote this report back to Prince Vladimir in Kiev. "We knew not whether we were in heaven or on earth, for on earth there is no such splendor or such beauty, and we are at a loss as to how to describe what we witnessed. We only know that God dwells there among the people." Legend has it that the beginnings of Christianity in the Ukraine and Russia can be traced to that one splendid celebration of the liturgy in the Cathedral of Constantinople. So never underestimate the power of liturgy. At its best, liturgy draws back the veil that hides heaven from earth, blurs the barrier separating time and eternity. At its best, liturgy gives us a glimpse of God. Take today's liturgy. Today, and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we get to touch eternity. Every time we break the bread and eat it, every time we bless the cup of wine and share it among ourselves, we are touching divinity, tasting divinity, receiving as our food and drink the body and blood of Christ, given as food for our journey. In this and every Eucharistic liturgy, we are meant to experience the awesome presence of God, or to use the words of the Prince Vladimir story, we come to know that here, God dwells among the people. Given the greatness of this sacrament, then, is it any wonder that we lavish such care on the way we celebrate it? Is it any wonder that down through the ages, people have built great churches and towering cathedrals, thinking no effort too great, no expense too much? Is it any wonder that we surround the celebration of the Eucharist with only the finest and the best the human effort and human genius can provide, whether in music, architecture, art, artifact, ritual? Why would we ever settle for second best? The Corpus Christi procession that has become such a marvelous tradition here at St. James is yet one more sign of just how seriously we take all this, one more sign of our belief in and our joy in the real and abiding presence of Jesus, who comes so close to his people in simple sacramental signs, in bread that is his body broken for us, in the cup that holds his blood poured out for us. But my friends, Corpus Christi celebrates and speaks of not just the blessed sacrament of Christ's body and blood, the Eucharist. It also celebrates and speaks of another sacrament too, the church, which while we may not always think of it this way, is itself a sacrament, the sacrament of Christ, the living embodiment of the presence of Christ. It is no accident at all that church and Eucharist have the same name. Both are Corpus Christi, body of Christ. And you cannot have the one without the other. Without the church, the holy people of God, there can be no Eucharist, because Jesus makes himself sacramentally present only when the church gathers as we have this morning, gathers for prayer in his name. But the reverse is also true. Without the Eucharist, there can be no church, because the Eucharist builds up the church, nourishes the church, nourishes us, who without the Eucharist would soon die from hunger. My friends, I'm not playing with words here. I'm pointing to a profound mystery. Our Catholic faith affirms the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, yes, but no matter how great our faith in that presence of Jesus, if his presence is not every bit as real for us when it comes to people, all people without exception, but especially the poor, then we are involving ourselves in a glaring contradiction. In one of his sermons, the great St. John Chrysostom, Bishop of Constantinople and Father of the Church, said all this in a most memorable way. I quote, "Do you wish to honor the body of Christ? Then do not neglect it when you find it naked or in need. Do not do it homage here in the church with gold and incense and silk fabrics, only to neglect it outside, where it suffers cold and nakedness." St. Teresa of Calcutta said the same thing in a slightly different but no less striking way. "The body of Christ," she once wrote, "is one. In the Eucharist, we find Christ under the appearances of bread and wine. And each day of our lives, we find Christ under the appearances of flesh and blood. It is the same Christ." Make no mistake, my friends, Mother Teresa is right. It is the same Christ.